I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month, so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
If we had to pick one skill that is vital to the health and longevity of your relationships with spouses, kids, and friends, and the world at large, it would be learning to apologize well. But if we're honest, most of us really suck at this. Today, we dive into the art of saying I'm sorry, why it's so hard to do, how to do it well, and even when and if you should accept an apology. You're listening to Honest Women, the podcast for every woman who's trying to juggle the relationships, roles, and responsibilities that come with modern womanhood and finding it all just a little harder than she thought it would be. We're your hosts, Andrea Berkeley
and Jessica Hutchison, your new besties who just happen to be therapists. And while we believe that life is hard and there's no tip or trick that will solve that, it does get just a little bit easier when we can be real with each other and talk about it honestly.
You're listening to Honest Women. Hey, Jess.
Good morning, Andrea.
Good morning. I am sorry that I'm going to take us off track right away.
You're already apologizing to me?
I am. It's a thing that women do sometimes. But I think we need to let our listeners know what we're doing right now.
Well, we're staring at each other, and it's not over the screen.
Yes.
For the first time in Honest Women podcast history, woo-hoo, we are recording in a studio.
We are. We are in the same room. We are gazing very
literally
directly
gazing
into each other's eyes. Oh, I like
you're
that.
Making it awkward.
You're making it awkward. And we are also gazing at each other's really intense tans.
We did. Okay, so we are doing something really cool and exciting, mm-hmm, and we are finally making the leap to be on YouTube, which we have said we were going to do since, I don't know, probably this time last year.
Right.
Before we even launched it, I think, right? We, mm-hmm, were talking about it. So since y'all are going to see our face outside of the small screen that is Instagram, we got spray tans.
We sure did, because we are ladies of the 90s. And in the 90s, if you wanted to be ready for something, you went tanning.
You did go tanning. So if anybody is a 1980s baby here, /19, you grew up in the 1990s, you remember the stickers.
Yep.
Do you remember the stickers?
I sure do.
What was your favorite one?
Okay. Probably the heart.
Stop.
Because the Playboy Bunny was so scandalous.
I know, I love the Playboy Bunny.
I probably used it too.
I also, to be clear, did not actually understand what the Playboy Bunny was. I think I thought it was like a status symbol more than like, yeah, I was naive.
Yeah.
Believe it or not.
I probably understood.
Yeah, you probably did. That's probably why you didn't like put it somewhere where you could see in your bikini.
I probably knew
at
it was
like
sinful.
12.
Yeah.
No, I don't think I spray tanned. I don't think I tanned at 12.
I was 15. Probably not too far off, but we wanted to look our best for you since you're going to look at our faces on YouTube. And
so we're not usually this tan, by the way, because in the Midwest, aka Chicagoland area, in the springtime, you are pale. Very, very pale.
Unless you go somewhere. And then it's like a status symbol.
And since we grew up in the 80s and 90s, we also know that we are probably going to have skin cancer at some point from all the tanning.
It's probably true. So if you're listening on your favorite podcast app, if you're on Spotify, if you're on Apple Podcasts, just like always, you can follow the show. And do I do the YouTube thing now?
Do the YouTube thing.
If you are listening on YouTube, like and subscribe. Like and subscribe, right? That's what they do.
Yes, that's what they do.
I did not practice that.
I don't even know how to do it.
Very embarrassing. And you can also leave a comment on the video. It's a really easy way to support the show because it helps other people find our show.
And it helps us.
It helps our egos.
Like a lot.
A lot.
Like us, subscribe because it's good for our egos. We need the boost.
We do need the boost. You know what makes me crazy, Jess?
Dare I say what?
You dare. It's when women apologize for everything. And I was just that woman.
Because here's what you hear. Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And I will tell you, this is pretty honest, that actually annoys the shit out of me.
It annoys me too.
Yeah, quite a bit.
And sometimes if I really love someone and they're a chronic apologizer, I just want to whisper into their ear, this is so unnecessary.
You don't need to do this.
No, you can take up space in the world, you know? So I guess I used to do this all the time. It's become a practice of mine to not say I'm sorry when it's not needed.
Okay.
Because I found myself apologizing. If someone came over to my house, I'd be like, I'm sorry, it's a mess. I'm sorry, this is all I have for snacks. I'm sorry, you know?
But I think I still do that sometimes.
We probably both do.
Huh. Interesting.
I know that as a woman, I want to stop apologizing when it's not necessary. Mm-hmm. But I also think that we need to learn to apologize when it is necessary.
Absolutely agree.
So I am wondering if this happens to you as we are preparing for this week. I'm thinking about apologies and all I could hear were the bad ones in my home this week. Mm-hmm. And they were usually extorted by me. Mm-hmm. When one of my children said something mean to the other, I would be like, that is not okay. You need to apologize right now.
Look at that authoritative.
Well, I figured everyone should see my mean face on YouTube.
With the finger? You got to get the finger.
I put it up.
You should apologize.
Right. Yeah. Right, with the gritted teeth and the... Mm-hmm. And it made me think about the fact that, that's a really bad apology. If one of my kids apologizes after I demand that from them, it doesn't ever seem to hit the mark.
Well, here's what you're speaking to is when we're asking somebody to apologize, they're not actually admitting remorse.
Right.
It's feeding our own ego, right? I need you to tell me you're sorry so I can feel better.
Right.
But it's empty. They're empty words. They mean nothing.
Yeah. And I wonder if this is why so many of us learned to apologize so badly.
Well, I don't think we really learned anything. I think what was modeled was just crappy behavior.
Right. Okay. Question for you.
Oh, dear.
Did you ever get an I'm sorry to you as a child? Did your parents ever apologize to you when you were a kid?
So I feel like I always wanted apology from one parent and never got it. Mm-hmm. And the second parent, I think, did, but it came at the cost of making me feel bad on the end. So I would get the I'm sorry.
Yes.
But. So I would end up feeling worse about it.
Yep. Maybe this is part of why apologizing can be so hard. One of the first reasons that apologizing can be so hard. Because if we learned it at all growing up, we learned to do it badly. Mm-hmm. We had bad behavior modeled for us. And that remains something that we still struggle with then if we've never learned how to do it.
I think that we weren't taught not only to apologize, but we were also not taught how to respond when somebody does apologize. Mm-hmm. And so I would actually apologize to somebody as a child. And I hate to say it, but I feel like my mom stands out, right? That mother-daughter relationship, which we've talked about, is very complex, right? But I would go and apologize and actually acknowledge something that I did. And instead of being forgiven, it would be more drilled in.
Yes.
Right? this is why you do need to apologize. And on top of that, here's a few other things I'm going to throw at you to remind you how terrible that thing was that you did.
Yes.
Which then leads to, why in the hell would you apologize?
Right. Absolutely.
You feel 10 times worse.
Absolutely. And sometimes we are taught to issue this empty apology, right? Like, apologize right now for what you just did. You say, I'm sorry. And then the person who was receiving the apology is told, now you need to say, I forgive you, and move on. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you're getting an apology, you know, your sister just punched you and your arm is still throbbing and you're being told, all right, she said sorry, time to forgive.
Yeah. What if you're not ready to forgive or you don't want to forgive, but you're taught not only are you supposed to apologize when you do wrongdoing, but when you get apologized to, you should forgive and move on.
Right.
Or forgive and, dare I say, forget, which do we even need to talk about? Neurologically speaking, that is impossible.
Right. Any other reasons why you feel like apologizing can be so hard for people to do?
This one's for me. And I have talked before about the older I get, the more I like to control things, right? And so I dig a schedule, I dig routine, I own it, and I'm okay with it. Now, when you go and apologize to someone, you have zero control over their response.
Yep.
Zero. So it's a big risk if you're going and looking at it from a place of, I want to be forgiven. Yeah. It's a vulnerable thing to do.
Yeah. And we've got relationship history with pretty much everybody that we see on a daily basis. And so sometimes what makes it so difficult is, not only do I not have control over how you respond, I know you're going to respond poorly.
Oh, yeah.
Right? If I've apologized to you in the past and you have, you know, dug in and told me how bad I am, or you have used that as a weapon against me at some point, I'm not going to feel safe apologizing to you. And similarly, if we have a dynamic where I'm the one who's always apologizing, I'm the one who's always initiating apology, and then the only one who says anything to repair, that becomes very exhausting. And it makes it really, really hard to apologize.
Well, yeah, it absolutely, right? So we've got the history part of it. Also, it takes a really strong and truly confident person to apologize because you are owning your part of something.
Right.
So a lot of times that's hitting on our deepest insecurities or something we know we struggle with. And not only are we saying, I'm sorry to the other person, but we're acknowledging that thing that we did that usually holds guilt, shame, remorse, something icky, or that we're taught is icky.
Yeah, we've talked about that difference between guilt and shame before, and it is very hard. It takes a lot of strength to stay in guilt. I feel bad about what I've done and own it without then rolling around in shame. I'm a bad person. And honestly, sometimes we feel like we're opening the door to someone else to shame us if we come to somebody who's not safe to apologize to.
Do you see this in your couples work?
Abso-freaking-lutely.
That's all I'm thinking about right now.
Yes.
I see this with couples all the time where it will be like, who can dig their heels in longer? With, I will not apologize to you because you haven't apologized to me. And what I see, and I hate to say it, but I see it a lot with men, is there's so much shame attached to the one thing that it's, I've already told you I'm sorry. What else do you want from me?
Yes.
Right? And so I'll see that with infidelity. For sure, right? But there's shame attached to it. And that limits our ability to actually lean into the emotion of it and give a heartfelt apology.
Yes.
It's a, can you just get over it so I don't have to feel this icky thing I'm feeling?
Right, right. It's almost like sometimes we're unable to tolerate feeling bad about what we've done and just need to get out from under it. And then we think apologizing is a way to get there, but that's a bad apology. And I think we all know that apologizing is important to keep our relationships healthy. And we all also know we've received those bad apologies before. So it might be time for us to give a few examples of bad apologies.
You're going to ask me, aren't you?
I am.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So I had a quote unquote friend. I say quote unquote friend because now reflecting back on it, this individual, this woman was not a friend.
Right.
And I was not there for her in a life situation that she felt that I should have been better at, right? I heard it. I hurt a lot. She told me very much how much that hurt her.
Yep.
So I wanted to apologize and actually give a heartfelt apology. Went over to her house. She got me with some wine. I take full responsibility for my actions of drinking a couple glasses of wine. So then when it came to talk about it, and I'm vulnerable, and I am talking about how sorry I am, truly sorry that I was not there for her in the way that she wanted and needed. I will tell you, I have never had somebody berate me in the way that in which she did. I mean, and let me just tell you guys some of the things she said, because it's still, it's taken me years to get over.
Yes.
Like, and I usually can shake some things off. This one I couldn't, because she actually said to me, with what you do as a therapist, I don't know how you even are good at what you do.
Oh, shit.
I mean, I was sobbing. And people don't get me to sob very easily, at least not in front of them.
Yes.
I'll go home and sob. But berated me to the point that even when I left that night, I was so conflicted. I sent like a gift, which now I'm like laughing at. I'm like, poor sad me. But I sent her a gift further apologizing for not being there in the way in which she wanted me to be. She also never acknowledged getting that gift. But it took me a while after that, because it was, one, I had to sit with, am I this awful, terrible human being? Do I suck at my job? Like, what's wrong with me? But two, man, was there scar tissue around that apology. And why would I ever be vulnerable and open myself up and tell somebody and acknowledge wrongdoing when it can come with, like, a really brutal attack?
Right. Yeah, you hit on it, man. Our history with an apology can really, really take a toll, for sure. And it can lead us to offer, maybe the next time you're needing to offer an apology, maybe you don't do quite such a good one, right? That was a good one. That was vulnerable and heartfelt and owning your part, and you were there and emotionally attuned and everything that you needed to be, and you got smacked down. And so I think sometimes that is part of what leads us to offer bad apologies.
Oh, for sure, because you protect yourself. Mm-hmm. But here's what I also learned. What I got wrong, I didn't get my apology wrong. I actually nailed that like really well of owning
nailed
my
it.
Part. Nailed it. What I got wrong was expecting something in return.
Yeah.
That's what I got wrong. I expected, if I'm open and I'm vulnerable, that this individual is going to forgive me. I went in with that expectation. And you can't. You cannot go in with this expectation of being forgiven.
Right.
Now, I will say this person's behavior was unacceptable and we're clearly not friends anymore.
Right.
But you cannot go in with having an expectation of being forgiven. It will further the wound. Also, if I'm owning my part here, was I apologizing for her, or was there a little bit of doing it for me?
Yeah. Sometimes we are apologizing to get ourselves out of a situation. Sometimes we are apologizing to handle our own difficult feelings. And then sometimes we don't apologize like that. Sometimes we offer things like an excessive apology.
I was just going to say that one, actually.
Yeah. I don't think that your apology sounded excessive in that moment. An excessive apology would be like...
Yeah, give an example.
Yeah, that would be more like, I forgot to bring something to our recording today, and I am like, Jessica, I'm so sorry. Oh, I'm so, so sorry. How did I forget my mug at home? I just feel so bad. I can't stop thinking about it. It's just, oh, it's so, are you, do you hate me? It's awful. I'm so sorry.
I'm right? like annoyed.
Right.
I'm genuinely annoyed.
That's
by that.
How you should feel, because it's an apology and it's a big one, but it's not appropriate to the situation.
Well, because it leads to caretaking of the other person.
Right.
You know where I see this a lot, when somebody discloses something bad that happened to them, something big.
Yeah.
Right. And they're open and they're vulnerable. This awful thing just happened to me. And people will go, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I am so sorry I brought that up, or I'm so sorry that happened to you. And what that does then is the other person ends up caretaking that person.
Right.
Oh, it's okay. Oh, no, you're fine. No, I understand your intentions. Don't worry. That is not an apology.
Right. An apology cannot result in you, the offerer of the apology, being caretaken by the other person. That's okay. How you know you got it wrong.
Question for you.
Yeah.
Does this not remind you of every mother-daughter relationship of the 90s?
It sure does. Uh-huh. It sure does.
When you were asking about being apologized to or apologizing, that is what came up for me.
Right.
And what was modeled was you go up and you tell mom or somebody, right? Somebody.
Right.
That you've been hurt, right? You're speaking and they say, oh, well, I am so sorry. I was so terrible to you.
Yes. Oh, the manipulative apology,
and
right?
I see that one a lot.
Yes.
I see that in couples work too.
Yes. The one that centers you. That is a bad apology. We need people to know what a bad apology is. This one's kind of a combination of an empty apology and a denial. I'm sorry you felt that way.
You're challenging my reality with that one.
Right. I'm sorry you're so sensitive.
Oh, that one I think I got my entire childhood.
Yeah. Well, that was just rude. That's a way to put you down instead of owning anything that I've said.
And there is no ownership.
Right.
Right. If you tell me, sorry, you're so sensitive, you're further actually insulting me.
100%.
Yeah. You're not apologizing for anything.
Right.
You're insulting me.
That one comes up a lot in couples work. In couples, when people are trying to get it right, but really what they're doing is just laying in their defensiveness. So I feel like we know a couple of things here, a couple of examples of bad apologies, and we've heard a couple of examples of good apologies that were received poorly. Let's deep dive into how to give a good apology. For me, the first step to a good apology is acknowledging what you've done.
Talk more about that.
So I think that is being really specific about, I said such and such thing to you, and that wasn't kind.
So essentially owning the action.
Owning the action. Absolutely.
Your own action.
Yep.
I did this and I am seeing that my action caused you pain.
Yes.
And you're acknowledging that piece.
That's it. Yep. I think it starts there. It has to start there. It has to be specific because otherwise it's like, what are we even talking about here?
All right. That's when it's just, well, sorry.
Right.
I'm sorry.
Sorry.
For what? Well, and if you don't include the action, then the other person doesn't actually know what you're apologizing for.
Right.
Which part of it. And so if you apologize to me for something specific that you did, well, now I know that you understand what you did that hurt me.
Right. Yes. And that gives so much more comfort that maybe it won't happen the next time.
Yes.
Right?
Yep. Okay. A good apology. If anybody takes anything from this, this can be the one piece. A good apology does not include the word but. This is parenting 101. Well, it should be. It really isn't, but it is. I am so sorry. I lost my temper on you, but you should have put on your shoes when I asked you to the first time. That is not an apology.
No.
That is actually deepening whatever wound you caused.
Right.
You're putting salt right in it.
Right. Because you're saying, I'm sorry I did this, but it was your fault that I did this.
Yeah. So all that pain that you're feeling, it's actually your fault.
Right. I mean, there's also the couple's example of, I'm sorry that I was short with you, but you're an asshole.
But to be fair, the person probably wasn't an asshole.
I mean, it's not necessarily wrong.
It's not necessary. Exactly.
Right.
But just, right, like, call the person an asshole. Don't apologize with it. Right?
Yes.
You can say you're being an asshole. Just don't put I'm sorry with it.
Right. Or I'm sorry that you're such an asshole.
My response would be like, well, you married me. So I don't know.
Right. You just knew what you were getting into.
Just call your partner an asshole. It's totally fine.
It's fine.
Just don't put I'm sorry with it.
Yes. That's not an apology. No part of an apology includes those words. And that doesn't mean that you can't go back and have a second conversation.
Correct.
Because you can only own what you did. But that doesn't mean that the other person doesn't have anything to own. And like you said, we can't expect that those things will happen in the same moment, that I own what I did and now you own what you did.
Correct. Right? And sometimes people don't own the other part.
Right.
But that's why the importance of an apology is to acknowledge wrongdoing and the pain it caused another person.
Right.
If you go in with the expectation that they're also going to own their part, you're setting yourself up for failure because that is outside of your control. I'll tell people in my office, I'll have people say, you know, I am going to go have this conversation or a big one. I'm going to write a letter. I'm going to write a letter to this person and I'm going to tell them what they have done to hurt me.
Right.
And I have the exact same comment every single time. Well, it's a question, not a comment. Is what are you expecting in return? Every single time. The person responds with, takes them a second, well, to either be forgiven or they'll acknowledge their wrongdoing.
Right.
And I will say to them, then don't write the letter.
Yeah.
The only reason you write the letter, you go say it, is to acknowledge what your part.
Right.
That is it. Mm-hmm. You go in with an expectation, don't apologize.
That apology has to be a gift that you give to the other person.
Correct.
And I know you mentioned feeling remorse. I think this is something that we need to jump into a little bit more. So maybe you could say more about that sense of feeling bad that you've done something to someone else, because that's what you have to tap into when you're going to offer an apology to someone else.
I like remorse. Remorse is a good teacher. It's mm-hmm. like guilt yeah. to me, right? We can learn a lot from our guilt. Now, I will say if remorse is centered around the same thing over and over and over, you see this with addiction mm-hmm. quite a bit. And so if we're looking at the 12-step program, when you go and make amends, and one of the things that they do teach with it is you can't expect the person to want to hear your apology, your that remorse that you're feeling deep down inside.
Right.
They might not want to hear that. Mm-hmm. And so if it's that remorse is attached to an action or a behavior that is repetitive, mm-hmm. that might be something that you personally need to own and work through.
Yeah.
And are you going back to the person over and over again and asking for forgiveness? Mm-hmm. Well, guess what? I'm not going to forgive you.
Right.
You do the same thing to me that many times. No, go mm-hmm. fix yourself. Don't apologize to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And you do need to feel remorse. You just can't expect that that leads to an outcome. You actually have to feel it. So this is something I see a lot in couples work. I know we're on the right track. If there's been an injury in the relationship, if there's been infidelity or a moment where like you just weren't here for me or you really didn't stand up for me, whatever it is, and we move from, I'm sorry. I said, I'm sorry. How many times do you want me to say I'm sorry? There's no feeling in that. There's no sense of like what it was like for you. And over time, throughout the work that we do, when someone can come to understand this really impacted you and I love you and it hurts me knowing that you're hurting because of what I've done without falling into shame, because that harms the whole apology.
It blocks it.
It sure does. But that remorse, you have to feel it. You have to feel that sadness about what's happened and show up in that way. And then I think that's when real repair starts.
I was just thinking that. And that's where true forgiveness happens, mm-hmm. is when we think the other person truly understands
right.
how their actions impacted us.
Yep.
Then we do forgive
yeah.
quite beautifully.
Right.
It's actually quite easy
it is.
At that point. And how quickly people get caught in the terrible apologies that actually do keep us stuck
yeah.
from moving forward mm-hmm. with our relationships.
Mm-hmm.
You know where else I see people struggle is parents.
Yeah.
Right? And so I will have a parent say, well, if I keep apologizing to my kid, then I'm losing autonomy, right? Not autonomy.
Authority.
Yes. Thank you. Other A word. That's not asshole. But I'm losing that authority.
Right.
Right? And let me go ahead and tell everybody, I'm debunking it right now. It is completely false. Mm-hmm. You gain more authority by saying I'm sorry right. at an appropriate time than you do by saying I'm sorry, but
mm-hmm.
you gain none. In fact, you want to lose respect? Do the I'm sorry, but.
Right. Right.
With that. And I think when it comes to apologizing, myself included, with my children is where I practice the most. Mm-hmm. It feels the easiest
yeah.
to me.
Well, we know that our kids are so full of forgiveness.
I know.
This is the thing that kind of shocked me sometimes about like understanding grace is through parenting. And it wasn't about the grace that I offer. It's about the fact that I fuck up all the time. And especially if I can say, I'm sorry, but even if I don't, they wake up the next morning and they have their shiny little faces looking at me like I am still mama. And so I think knowing that we've got that grace coming towards us, it can make it a little bit easier to say, I'm sorry, and to give the gift of that relationship, because those little babies will grow up and they'll understand that mom doesn't get a free pass because she's my mom, right?
Mom.
And I think that we need to invest a little bit more in the future of our relationships. Not just in authority of the moment, but in the longevity of a relationship. And we can only do that by saying, I'm sorry to our children, because we want to have a real adult relationship with them one day.
Well, and I think it's investing in those relationships. I also think it's like investing in our community and the world.
Right.
I truly believe that our generation and the generations that have come before us really suck at apologizing mm-hmm. because we were never apologized to.
Right.
It wasn't modeled for us. Mm-hmm. And so I do believe that something so small as teaching our children how to apologize and how to accept an apology mm-hmm. can ultimately change the environment in which we all universally live in.
Yes, so true. Okay, so with that said, just before we close for the day, do you think that there are times where an apology should not be accepted?
Yes, I mean, it's a definitive yes. There's a couple different things. I think that you should not accept an apology if the behavior continues over and mm-hmm. over again. And this is the 15th, 16th time that this individual has come to you and asked for an apology for the exact same actions and behaviors. Mm-hmm. I don't think you have to forgive at that point
right.
at all. I also don't think you have to accept an apology if you do not feel like the person understands the pain. So I think about this with infidelity in mm-hmm. the couples work we do.
Yep.
If the other person does not understand the pain that they have caused, you absolutely do not have to forgive.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And at the end of the day, we don't have to. It's a choice.
Yeah.
That's what we do have control over.
Yeah. So how would you reject an apology nicely?
Oh, man, I don't think I can okay. reject an apology nicely. Okay, let me role play here and think about it. I think I would say I appreciate it, but it means nothing
yeah.
to me. I don't think that's nice, but that's how I think I have said that before.
Yeah.
I really appreciate the apology. It means absolutely nothing to me anymore.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to say it.
I think I've said that to one of my children before. Now that I'm thinking about it, but I think one of my children has repeatedly done it. And I right. think I very gently said, hey, I appreciate it, but listen, it doesn't hold value when the behavior continues. Mm-hmm. So instead of apologizing, why don't we work on changing the behavior?
Yeah.
And then I think it led to, you told me I'm sorry fixes everything. And I was like, rewind the film.
You're like, actually, in a couple of years, if you'll just listen to this episode of my podcast, I'll lay it all out for you.
And you'll hear me talking about you yes. for the umpteenth time.
Yes, for sure. Hopefully, through having this conversation, I'm hoping that we all learn to apologize well and more quickly, and that we're modeling that behavior for our children and our partners and our world. And then we'll have a lot less need for non-acceptance of an apology. So before we go today, let me not apologize for asking, will you share this episode with someone important in your life? You can share it with a spouse, kid, a friend. I mean, heck, you can even share it with a frenemy if you're feeling low-key passive-aggressive. And actually, if you're feeling low-key passive-aggressive, please stop. Go to the episode that we have on communication styles. We'll walk you through not doing that. And then you can send this to them quite assertively. But sharing the love about the podcast helps other people find it. And we truly believe that the whole world would benefit from more honest conversations just like these.
You've just finished an episode of the Honest Women Podcast. We are so honored that you would spend this time with us. We have so much more where this came from and don't want you to miss a minute. So please, right now, take a second to follow the show. While you're there, leave us a 5-star rating and a review. It's the best way to help other women find our show so they can join the conversation. And if you have a friend who could use a little more honesty in her life, and who couldn't, send this episode directly to her. Actually, send this episode to anyone you want to. Everyone's welcome here. We'll be back next Wednesday speaking some truth and feeling some feels. Until then, hang in there, ladies. This has been Honest Women.